Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the World Series of Politics podcast, where two heavy hitters in the political, legislative, and regulatory space take swings at the curveballs thrown at the gaming sector by legislators and regulators around the world for IGB. We've got Brendan Bussman and Grant Iden stepping up to the plate to discuss the hot topics in this space from across the world. Let's play ball on another episode of the World Series of Politics.
Welcome back to the World Series of Politics podcast. I'm your host, Brant Iden, along with Brendan Bussman, and we are in the driver's seats today. We have got a tremendous amount of news coming from across the country, but just as a quick recap, Brendan, welcome back from ICE. I am sorry to have missed it. How was it?
ICE was great. We missed you in Barcelona. We look forward to hopefully seeing you and everybody else there next year.
Wait a minute, it was in Barcelona, I was in London. No wonder I missed it. No, I'm kidding. Of course.
You got to keep up here. I mean, did you forget what Stuart talked about on the last
right.
one here?
That's right.
Come on, that's right. You know? No, it was a great show. I thought it was, for everything, a moving cities, moving venues, everything else, went off flawless. The Clarion team did a great job. Not a bad word was heard in the hall. Over everything, and we look forward to seeing you in Barcelona next year. So no excuses, Mr. Iden.
There are none. And the number I heard was what, 56,000?
56,000 at least. I think there were
amazing.
More.
It was
three solid days of just packed.
That's, well, look, awesome. A huge shout out and congratulations to the Clarion team for working their tails off on this. I know it's not easy. And I'm sorry to have missed it, but next year for sure. So here we are back stateside. And man, since our last episode, we have had just a whirlwind of legislative activity happening across the country. Everything from sports betting to iCasino and taxes and everything in between. And so we're going to jump right in. We're going to go. And you know, of course, this show is one of those shows where we're not going to have any guests on. So Brendan and I are going to quickly pontificate on each of these states. So we're going to
pontificating.
Right,
we're telling the truth.
That's right. We're sharing our opinions.
Yes.
Okay.
You want to start with sports? Maybe Mississippi.
We're going to talk sports. We're going to go right now. We're going to start in Mississippi because I talked about Mississippi. I like Mississippi. You like Mississippi.
Yep.
Go ahead. Hit us with it.
I would say, you know, we're sort of at the same position we were last year. Made it out of the House, onto the Senate. All eyes on the Senate. I think at this point, and I say this, and I don't want to jinx it. I hope this gets across the finish line, and it actually, I think, will help move other things down in the South just in general, but it's one of those that's a no-brainer. They'll have an increase in revenue, and it'll be good for the state. So should have done it last year. I think they can get there this year. What's your take?
Yeah, look, I'm with you. I agree. We've got to break that sort of red wall in the South as it comes to gaming issues. This is one of the states that I think may get there. They've had retail for a long time. This has been a hot topic of conversation. It came out of the House with a massive, overwhelming majority again yesterday. Look, the reality of it is that there's some issues in the Senate. I think there's an opportunity to get over those this year. A lot of questions and concerns continue between obviously retail casinos and impact here. But look, I think Mississippi is poised. Mississippi is poised. Speaking of Minnesota, go.
Speaking of 10,000 lakes, you know, it feels like Groundhog's Day, which is
done
with it. Here we are back in Minnesota. Are we going to be at the 11th hour again? You know, we've got another bill out there. It's very similar to last year. We've got the tracks that are the disaster. We've got the charitable that's the disaster over all that. Not only disaster necessarily, disasters out, but there are issues that are looming that have held this up in the past along the way. As much as I have been a proponent of Minnesota, and I love my people up in Minnesota when I say this, I'm just not going there because I've made just bad decisions in the past. And I'm going to say we may get it done by session, but it's a 2-year session. So I got some room to play with.
I think that's a very fair assessment. I'm with you. I mean, obviously, here we are early into February, and I think we finally, I think sort of, knock on wood, have some resolution as to who's going to be in charge in the legislature there.
There's that.
Obviously, for the past month, there's been dissension in the House. Do the Republicans control it? Do the Democrats control it? There was some sort of agreement in the Senate, but now that that's been topsy-turvy again, I just saw with a new DFL senator that was elected, has now been sworn in, Democrats now take control in the Senate. So I think the reality, and I hope, and again, knock on wood here, is that politically, the Democrats have now sort of said, look, DFL is in charge. Republicans have agreed to this. There was an agreement in place as it related to the tracts and the tribes at the end of last session. And of course, it just didn't get done because of another issue. But the likelihood is that the one would think the likelihood is in favor of trying to get something done in Minnesota this year. I mean, now that this political issue has been resolved, I'm with you. I think it's going to take a little bit of time, but I'm hopeful that the legislature can still get there.
Well, I am hopeful too, but you know, shame on us for twice, not once, but twice.
I know.
You know, and it was leadership 2 years ago, you'll remember, that said, hey, I got to go to my reunion at Harvard. I'm leaving 3 days early.
I remember this. You continually come back to this, by the way. You've never let that go.
There's two things you know about me. I'm consistent and I never forget. You know that. You say
That's
it multiple
true.
times.
That's true. Elephants don't forget. I've heard that.
No, they don't. They don't whatsoever. You know, but secondarily, it was, oh, guys, you didn't make it in time. But they passed a 1,400-page bill at the end after we, you know, had that deal at the end of last year. You know, I will say this, and while the dust may have settled between the parties, I don't know if it really has. And I say that in general going, I've never watched two groups of people that one walks in, does a press conference and says, hey, the whole state's blue. And then the other one walks in and says, the whole state's red. And there's no purple in between.
Yeah,
over
right.
Everything. It's nuts. But, you know, the thing that concerns me about Minnesota, and I think this is a general concern across the way because we've seen it in other states, and I know we'll talk about one here in a second, is where does that tax rate or the payment as it relates to the tribes come in at, and what is that rate at? Because unfortunately, as I said earlier, you know, as it relates to the state of Ohio, some people just continue to not understand the economics of this and fail economics 101.
Well, I think that that's a great segue into Ohio, as we're talking about taxes. Welcome to Ohio.
Yes.
Look,
has there ever been a state that you've ever, you're a former legislator, okay? Have you ever seen a business that gets so screwed by a government that not only does it double its tax once, but twice gets proposed in the course of a 12-month period?
I saw a comment by a particular senator on the finance committee as this budget bill has now been rolled out to the legislature. One a particular senator said, "Look, we're not even two seasons into football, and we've raised the tax twice on this industry. Let's just put the brakes on and see if this even makes sense. Let's take a look at the economics of this before we just continually just raise the tax." Now, and I think it's important to note that the governor did not only propose a tax increase to the sports betting industry, he proposed tax increases to all what he called sin industries. Of course, he included cannabis as part of this. He included liquor as part of this. He included tobacco products as part of this. This is a governor that just clearly, you know, has basically said, look, in terms of new revenue, I'm going to go towards some of these industries that I may not align with philosophically, and that's where I believe the taxes need to go. And we'll see how it plays out. Now, I think based upon some of the comments that I saw, again, from some of those senators who were on a finance committee, publicly made these comments yesterday, I think there's a question. I think they're sort of saying, well, wait a minute, let's put the brakes on this. Does this make sense? Does Ohio need the revenue? If so, where should this revenue also be dedicated to? I think that that becomes part of the question as well. Are these lawmakers interested in just simply raising the taxes to fund new stadiums? Or are there other issues that they want to potentially raise dollars for in the state that aren't just more dedicated towards stadiums, right? So I think there's a lot of questions that remain. It's going to be a long budget process in the state of Ohio. But again, it is one of those states where we've seen now two cycles in a row a tax increase proposal.
No, and the other thing I'll just say in general, and then let's switch a little bit here to iGaming is,
yes.
You know, one, do we really need to raise that much revenue? Do they really need a dome stadium in Cleveland? Can't they learn how to play football outside?
Oh, like, I was waiting for that. I teed
most
you up
of the
that.
Big Ten country. I mean, this becomes an M versus an O, and I will always side with the M when it comes to football. So,
And you know, I'd pick on my friends to the south in Ohio, but my Lions play in that dome up there too. So let's move on.
Yeah, but
Let's move on.
that's a different story. Yeah, I'm talking about
That's
college
a different
football. Yeah,
story. Different
different
story.
story. Different
All right,
story.
let's talk about iCasino, which, I mean,
Yep.
talk about an active legislation cycle already. And again,
Yep.
we're 3 weeks into it, and we have seen more bills proposed on iCasino than I recall ever seeing, frankly,
Correct. Yep.
since the rollout. Let's start in the east. We'll work our way west. Let's start, and obviously, it's been talked about a lot. Your friends in New York, Senator Addabbo, you know, obviously, Assemblyman Pretlow pushing this issue for a very long time. What do you think?
I think it's very telling, and I actually had the recollection of when a conversation I had some 4 years ago on this very topic with both senator, both esteemed elected officials over everything. I still think this is a wait and see. I as much as the governor should be looking at this as revenue, you've got a downstate process in the middle of this. You've got a Seneca deal that sat outside for now well over a year outside of the compact. You got to come up with an overall total gaming package to be able to do that. Now, that said, obviously, I think the governor's going to run again. She's going to try to figure out how to get this all to work in the end. I just don't see putting all those pieces together, knowing those three things looming out there, that they get across the finish line by the time the budget needs to be done, technically by the end of March. But as we've known with New York and a few other states, they tend to miss their deadlines.
So I think you bring up a great point. We have been talking and talking and talking about the downstate casino process. I think you and I are both aligned that it just seems like walking and chewing gum on this thing is very difficult, and this downstate casino process has got to be resolved. I think that that has been really sort of just a hang up as it relates to just talking about gaming in New York. You know, and I'm putting you on the spot here, Brendan. Do you think that issue is going to be resolved this year? We thought it was supposed to be resolved last year. Where did the downstate, what's going to happen with the downstate casinos? Or is it do, or do we just simply not know?
Well, I think there'll be a lot that gets played out at least this year, as opposed to the silence that we sat through in 2024, because there actually is a deadline in June to
Right.
turn stuff in. Now, that said, there's a very succinct process that is supposed to happen after that. I have always said from the beginning there is no way they will stick to that timeline when they came out with that over everything. I think there's a host of issues about all these sites. And I say that from the local approval into, other regulatory issues, as well as the politics of a mayor's race and everything else in between that throw, this process into it. But the most telling thing is, was there any money included in the governor's budget for from downstate casino revenue for those licenses? And the answer is no. So
Nice. Spot on.
I think that's telling of, hey, I'm not going to see a drop along the way here, which, the minimum buy-in, an exorbitant amount of $500 million
Right.
for a 10-year license, which is basically $50 million in CapEx every year. If you're not included in the budget, you don't believe in your timeline either.
Wow, great point. That's a great point. And I guess if I got to make the money argument, and I'm going to come back to iCasino and say this, you need the money. New York, you need the money. Take the money. Get the deal done. Get all the deals
Well,
done. Do all the gaming. Get the deals. Take the money.
and it's every state like that. I mean, another one, next door to it in Pennsylvania, governor included skill-based games in his budget at 52%.
Right.
Maryland, another one on the iGaming front, they're dire for money on these types of things. They were last year when we debated it. It stalled. Obviously, we had a recent hearing there. What are your thoughts on Maryland?
Well, no, it's a great point on Maryland. You make a great point. Again, Maryland, $2.3 billion estimated in deficit coming into the next year. That's a big dollar amount. The governor rolled out his budget plan. The governor has included tax increases that do, by the way, do include a sports betting tax increase, but
Yep.
massive tax increases across the board from all sectors of industry to individual income tax increases as well. And then couple that with significant drastic budget cuts for you know many important services that again I'm not so sure that the legislature aligns with the governor on. I think that everyone recognizes that there's a $2.3 billion deficit looming, but I think at the end of the day, I'm hopeful that lawmakers there will say, look, there is an avenue for new dollars to be able to come into the state without having to raise some of these taxes. Now, by the way, $2.3 billion, it's not all going to be settled by iGaming. Don't get me wrong. That's not going to get the deal done.
No,
there
that
is
is
going to
not.
have to be more there.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, this is one avenue to look for new dollars. And so
yeah.
I think that the Senate hearing that we had that you mentioned, Brendan, was great. I think they put it, I thought the Senate put a lot of time. They asked very good questions. I think the Senate is waiting for the House to move on this. The House obviously moved last time around on this, and we'll see if it happens again. I'm hopeful that Maryland, again, you know, me being the optimistic guy that I am, I'm hopeful that Maryland takes a look at this and says, this is real revenue before us. What can we do with it? And then, of course, that lingering big question you brought up, what's the tax rate going to be? I don't know. Probably pretty high is my guess, but that's my head. That's where I'm at.
And I would agree with you off of that. You know, unfortunately, this is where the economics doesn't always get sold. And that's across the board, not just looking at iGaming, but the increase in sports betting tax, the increase in all those taxes that the governor pitched off of that along the way. To make that work, it's just it's challenging across the way for a host of sectors, not just that. You know, to the south of there, obviously Virginia's debated a lot of gaming stuff too. You know, so we'll see what happens. iGaming sort of got punted, if you want to call it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that though, I'll give you that it did get punted, but I think that that was sort of telling. The governor made it very clear. This is the governor's final term. The governor made it very clear that he really wasn't interested in doing anything gaming related in his last year. And I think the lawmakers looked at this and said, and by the way, remember, when we have had these conversations, like in Maryland, it always started with some sort of a report, you know, whether, and I know we've debated some of these reports in the past as to whether they're good, bad, or ugly or otherwise.
We won't bring up the ugly C word that doesn't exist.
Yeah, we won't. I know. I recognize that. But the fact that lawmakers said, look, we're gonna move forward with a study. The study's got to be complete by December of 2025. I think that's very telling that we could be in a good place in Virginia to at least have a substantive conversation in 2026 with a new governor as well as to what iCasino, iGaming may look like.
Well, and I would say this as it relates to gaming in Virginia, and this goes across the board. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. The one thing that Governor Youngkin has said is the regulatory bill I want to see go forward. I want to see that structure in place that would allow for iGaming to come in the future and have that in a true gaming regulatory system as opposed to the manufactured system that they put in place with the lottery when they added the casinos. Now, they've got a host of other things down there with skill-based that obviously the governor vetoed last year and they couldn't come to compromise. I know that's still alive. You've also got the Northern Virginia casino that's been an interesting debate over that and what may happen with that. But, you know, yet to be determined. But I think, you know, as it relates to iGaming, heading into 26, I think that the industry can be in a good position along the way to craft that right. And JLARC's done, you know, good job of trying to narrow in on those sites in a very effective way, as it has before with casinos.
Yeah, and you make a great point as it relates to the governor's been very consistent. I give Governor Youngkin that. He's been very consistent in saying, look, I want a regulatory framework in place. I want a commission in place. And this is a priority for me with my remaining time, you know, as governor. So I give you that. I think it does set Virginia up for the future. Let's continue our westward trek and talk about one of my neighboring states to the south, Indiana, obviously. A lot of activity in Indiana, you know, not necessarily on my radar for this year because there's been a lot of starts and stops in Indiana. But what do you think, Brendan?
You know, I think the hearing was very articulate and made the case for it. Obviously, Indiana, I mean, there were a host of things debated in that hearing along the way, not just as relates to iGaming, but, you know, you had the veterans clubs and everything else in there. You know, I think it's in a good position, but it's also one of those going, okay, I don't necessarily need the money right now, so what do we do? Type thing in a meaningful way. Not saying there aren't other projects and everything else, but it's not the $2.3 billion situation that Maryland is in. You know, I think it's one of those that can happen, but whether it does or doesn't, I think yet to be determined. But let's see how this plays out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think that the great news about that hearing and where I see this conversation continuing is there's been a lot of education, and I think there will be a lot more education, right? Whether or not Indiana happens in 2025 remains a big question mark, but I do think the great news is that this is just continuing to educate lawmakers on the potential for revenue, the consumer protections that are there, the fact that there's sweepstakes casinos going on in their markets already. I mean, when I'm having conversations with lawmakers in some of these states, they have no idea that these sweepstakes games are out there. They have, and so this is all about building that education potentially for the future, even if, you know, the flip the switch doesn't get flipped on in 2025 per se. So well look, I know
And
we're
you're right on
talking
that.
about, oh go ahead.
I
Sorry.
was going to say, and you're right on that. There's a host of bills out there, especially on this sweep stuff. It came up both in the Indiana hearing, also came up in the Maryland hearing of, legislators going, "What are you doing to log on to this? Are you VPNing in? Are you on the dark web, whatever else?" And they're like, "Nope, here's my phone. I'm on it right now. Go to X site." I'm not going to give them any credit over that. I'm not the Campaign for Fair Gambling. That's an affiliate for the illegal market out there. But it's one of those going, "Hey guys, this is, I sat and looked at a newspaper publication yesterday that sends me regular email updates. There was advertisements for a sweepstakes casino on there, just there."
Well,
And I'm sitting here going, "Hey guys, this is out there and needs to be dealt with because there's no consumer protection, there's
I
no tax
guarantee
revenue going
you.
to your state, and it's a problem across the country."
I guarantee you, as folks watch the Super Bowl this year, there will be ads for varying sweepstakes casinos that are going to pop up on your television in your state. For
Absolutely.
some of these casinos, they're going to pop up and they're going to seem legitimate. I thought it was, you know, one of the questions that I began, I know we're running short on time here, but I think it's a really important point that you bring to the table, Brandon, which is these lawmakers that are just sort of kind of very eye-opening in these states when they go, wow, this actually exists already. It's amazing when, you know, to have those conversations because people don't realize that it occurs. But I think they're asking questions saying, well, wait a minute, how come we can't just regulate that and get rid of those illegal sweepstakes? Well, the answer, and I know that it's always a tough one, but the answer is you have to have a regulatory framework in place to be able to allow your regulator to root out that illegal activity. So the only way you can do that is by putting laws in place, and those laws are regulation around iCasino. That in it
No,
sometimes
absolutely.
it seems counterintuitive as we have these conversations, but that's the only way that you're going to be able to get rid of some of these illegal operators that are, you know, across the
Absolutely.
country. I know you have a lot of conversations with your friends in California about how much they hate the sweepstakes games.
No, I know. I mean, you've got it from California across the board. It is an issue that needs to continually be dealt with. It's one that is being dealt with both, commercially, tribally, everything else. I will say, it's probably been one of the most important questions people have asked me about over the last year, and it continually gets asked almost every day of what's going on with this and what do we need to do.
Yeah, no, you're spot on. Well, as I said, we're wrapping
Yeah.
up. I want to close the show, and I hate to end on a sour note, but I got to ask the question,
Oh
Brandon.
God.
Yes or no, Texas sports betting 2025?
No.
Yeah, I'm with you. No. And I hit the buzzer. All right, I got to end. I hate ending there. I hate ending there.
I was going to say, we didn't get to a host of other ones. I know the governor has come out and said, "Hey, I'd sign it." I think there was some quote about it in there about he doesn't want people's fingers cut off when he said that too. But all roads lead through the Senate. It relates to gaming, and I hope to see everybody in 2027, and we'll have a fruitful conversation.
We're going to continue the good work in Texas that I know you've been working on for a very, very long time. You've been working on Texas for a
I
long time.
started when I was 2, 20 years in.
There you go. There you go. Well, there we go. We've done our round robin of states. There's going to
Yep.
be a lot more activity. We've got some great guests lined up as we get later into the month. So join us on the next episode of the, and this has been a great episode. And join us for the next one, another World Series of Politics podcast with your host, Brant Iden and Brendan Bussman.
You next time.
You've been listening to the World Series of Politics podcast with Brendan Bussman and Brant Iden. We'll be back at the starting line very soon. This has been an IGB production. For the latest news, views, analysis, and data on the global gaming industry, head to igamingbusiness.com.